Accession number 18547, Reel 3.
Sid Hook, Reel 3. You were just telling me about going in somewhere.
Oh, Augusta. Yeah, I could see this destroyer with his number G2. And I said to the buffer, when you see the other number, give us a shout. And he shouted out, Chippy, that's number 9. I said, you're a bloody liar. I said, because I know where she is. She's up on Russian convoys. The Alpha, she was called. And there's my brother waving to me because he knew the number of our craft. And his skipper said, who's the AB waving to there? And they said, it's his brothers that are aboard that landing craft. He said, well, tell him to go ashore. He said, we're only going over bombarding on the tow of Italy. We'll be back again tonight. So tell him to get off and go and see his brother. So we had him aboard. We had a fine time for a couple of 3 hours. Got him thoroughly drunk. And when the offer came back, we were just leaving. I had a little punt that I'd found in Ferryville, in North Africa. And I got him down in the punt to row him back to his ship. And our blasted ABs put the fire hoses on us. And rapidly sunk us. So we had to get back on deck again, get the water out the punt. And then I rowed him back to the offer. And, well, I never saw him again. But, I did see him again. After that, I saw him again. Because we'd done a couple trips then to a place called Catania. And then we made the landing from Catania to Reggio on the tow of Italy. And darn me, that morning while we were on the beach, the office steamed out down by our stern with the biggest Union Jack I've ever seen in my life. And this was Cunningham, the Admiral, was aboard her.
Were you landing troops at Reggio?
Yeah. We'd done several trips. It was only narrow across there from... We went back to a place called Terracina and picked up the Saskatoon Light Infantry and landed them on Reggio.
Was there any enemy opposition at Reggio?
Not the first trip, but the second trip. We used to put out what they call Summerfield netting. Because when you got a soft beach... lorries, you know, they can't get a grip on it. If you put it this Summerfield netting. And after a few lorries had been up, it used to curl up on the edges. We used to try and knock it down with pins and big hammers. But Fock Wolf comes scruffing down through the beach. And it's funny to see it because all our troops who were ashore getting the Summerfield netting, as soon as they started strafing down through the beach, they all ran back in the ship. But the troops who were in the ship all ran out to the beach. They felt more at home on the land than they did in the ship, whereas our blokes felt at home more protected in the ship. But in the middle of all this, a dispatch rider's coming down the beach, doing about 50 mile hour. Well, this strapping was going on. And it's a foot brake, or his clutch, or whatever it is, caught in the edge of this Summerfield netting. And of course, stopped the bike. He done about 10 somersaults in the air before he pitched. That last trip we'd done there, we couldn't get off very well. We had to pump up water to get off. And as we were leaving, another LST came in alongside us. And our navigator or captain or somebody shouted out to this one, "We'll rendezvous you off Terracina at midnight." And we did. He ran into us, knocked out of us, knocked our boat out of davits, knocked a blooming great hole in the side. Everybody thought we'd been hit by a torpedo because there was water coming in on the mess decks. But that was this LST running into us. So we went from there to Tripoli.
So you were shipwright aboard ship.
Yeah.
But did you have an action station?
Oh, yeah.
What was your action station?
In the galley flat. That's where the... It was right under the bridge. And, it was like the nerve centre, you know. Telephones there and all that. That was for fire, mostly. My job was firefighting. Water again, you know. Salt water.
Did you ever have to put any fires out
there? Yeah. Not that night, I didn't. But we did afterwards.
You said you went to Tripoli?
Yeah, and loaded the 7th Armoured. 7th Armoured, the Desert Rats. And when we were at Reggio, everybody was telling us this is only a mock job. The other job's coming off next week. That was the 3rd of September. We went into Reggio. We went to Tripoli and picked up the 7th Armoured. And then back to Salerno. That was the big job, Salerno. But everybody knew it. And the Germans knew it. And they were there waiting for us. Hell on earth, that was that place.
Why was it so bad at Salerno?
Well, the Germans were there waiting for us. Reggio, you know, just like a holiday, the first couple of trips. But everybody knew that. Everybody, the troops were all telling us the proper job's coming off next week. And they were right.
But you were going inshore and landing your troops at Salerno?
Oh, yeah. We'd go on the beach. There was no other way of getting rid of them. And there was something doing there. They nearly come out of it. The Americans wanted to come out of it. But I forget what general it was now, but they wouldn't let the Americans come out. But we kept our end of the beach good enough, but I think down the end where the Americans were, they wanted to come out of it.
Do you remember which beach you were going into at
some point? No, I don't. They only had code names like Sword Beach and names like that, you know.
Did your ship get hit?
Not at Salerno, no. Lot did. And we ran then from a place called Milazzo on the north of Sicily. Then we took all the troops that were in Sicily now to Salerno. Trip after trip after trip. Down by Stromboli, first time ever seen a volcano in eruption. Yeah. But I can remember most things, but Salerno, I don't know what happened to me, but it's a blank. Because all I can see is smoke. Our smoke and their smoke and fires from buildings. I remember seeing the warspike get hit by a glider bomb. And an hospital ship got sunk there in the anchorage. But they had Salerno Sam, which was a big 12-inch gun. They used to put them in the anchorage, you know, woof. No, it wasn't very nice. But then we went. Where did we go to then? We went from there to Corsica, Ajaccio. And first thing we saw when he went into Ajaccio was an LST sunk alongside the quay by a glider bomb. And me and the pale sparker that night went up the over the hill to where Napoleon, made a stone where Napoleon was born. And then we went from there to Sardinia. Maddalena, a place called Maddalena. But we never got ashore there. I forget what we went there for now. We were there a couple of days. In the Straits of Bonifacio. A lot of tide. They said there's no tide in the Med, but there's a lot of tide there. In the Straits of Bonifacio. And then we went, God knows where, we've done a couple of trips from Algiers to, I don't know, Sardinia or somewhere. No, we went back to Iran, Mungo. Anyway, we were up and down the Med. And then one day we went from Corsica to a place called Castellammare in the southern end of Naples Bay. And the field telling me went to have a look at Pompeii. Caught a train so far. Marvellous, went to Pompeii. Marvellous place. They had plumb in there and pavements. You could see where the chariot wheels had cut into the pavements. And on the way back from Pompeii, we went across the right, we were going back from Pompeii to go back to the station, and we saw a shortcut across a cauliflower field, and we hadn't seen any vegetables for months, so we filled our pockets up with cauliflowers. When we got to the station, the police were waiting for us and took the cauliflowers off us. So somebody saw us do that. But after we got off the train, I said to the old Sparky, you can see what's going on here. Because every road was full of tanks and brain carriages and things like that. I said, we're here for another bloody landing. That's what this lot's all about. And we loaded in Castellammare. I think it was on a Sunday. And on the Wednesday, we're at Anzio, which turned out to be a real disaster for us.
Why was that?
Well, I don't know. The organization wasn't up to it. When we got there on the beach that morning, there was no opposition at all. It wasn't very nice weather, it was cold and foggy, rainy. And we couldn't get on the beach. And said, where's the pontoons? And apparently the pontoons were still back in Naples. Nobody sent the pontoons up. But when they did come, the pontoons, we went to the pontoons with the American LST. And just as we were getting to the pontoon, a bloody German blew the pontoon up. So we never did get to the pontoons. So it must have been the next day we went into Anzio. Discharged and back to Pozzuoli or somewhere like that. And loaded again for Anzio. And when it's only a short trip, 10, 12 hours, I suppose. When we got back to Anzio, it had been mined. And the port was closed. But Anzio Anni, which was a big gun, was knocking out of the anchorage. And we were glad to get in, to get out of the anchorage. And then it came dark. And we got attacked by radio control bombs. And caught fire to us. Caught fire to the ship alongside of us.
Where did the bomb hit the ship?
Didn't hit the quay. Bounced off a quay. And the house on the quay come aboard the ship. Terrible night.
So flaming parts of the house dropped on the ship?
Oh yeah, but came through the ship and got into our capstan control and winch controls and all the electrics. The forward, what do you call them? The board where all the gubbins is. And we were well on fire. Never had any water, couldn't get any water. Only had an ordinary service. So I had to go away and get a reducer, which I knew it was. And when I got back, there was only the first lieutenant and me there. And a bloke called Barber, who never stopped firing a bloody hurricane all night. Right alongside us, where we were putting the fire. Bloke called Barber. Barber. Little fair boy. Had a couple go bomb happy, tearing around the mist there. And the bomb had took parted our chains. We're getting the ramp up. We couldn't close the bow doors. What a hell of a mess. We get out in the anchorage and worked all night to get the ramp up. We found a strop which no doubt was put aboard the ship for that very job, but we didn't know it at the time. Anyway, we got the ramp up and half closed the doors and steamed back to Naples.
Did that put a stop to the ship going into Anzio?
Oh, we went there only there a couple of days. They come aboard and took this board out and put a new board in. I went and put hundreds of pegs in the holes in the side of the ship, wooden pegs. And away we go again. And that list you got there, you can see how many times we went there.
It was as though you went to Anzio about 16 times.
Yeah, we did. Terrible place. It was so small. The only two ships could get in there. Two LSTs. And it was right under Anzio Anni. And they say that was a 9.5 inch gun. And they had 88 millimeters guns. But had mobile. Yeah, used to pepper us. So a couple of destroyers sink there one morning. And these radio control bombs was a thing, they were horrible. They used to come down from the south of France. And you used to hear them on the wireless saying 50 bombers approaching from south of France. And then one night they said, you needn't worry. They said, you needn't worry about the radio control bombs tonight. We've got a ship out here now that's got the latest jamming stuff. And they just go jam them before they hit the ship. And the ship was called the Spartan. And the first bomb hit the Spartan and sunk her. Terrible loss of life. And the Inglefield, and I think it was the Janus, sunk there right alongside of us. And then the Penelope of the Aurora got sunk there. And they've done some blooming work, those ships. But it was a terrible place, Anzio.
Was it worse than Salerno?
Yeah, much worse. We were in the tank space one night, and an army captain comes charging up the ramp with a gun in his hand. He says, "Come on, come on, hold it into the town. The Germans have broke through our lines. You don't bloody get me out there." So captain wouldn't let anybody go from the ship. But they broke right in the town that night. But we got out of it all right. We used to pick up 200 wounded stretcher cases and take back. That's what we were doing this night, loading wounded. Living work, that is, carrying 200 stretchers in. Took up a Scottish horse one night.
I think Scottish
they were Scottish horse, they were called, a regiment. I think it's 5.5s. But anyway, we had the sergeant or sergeant major in our mess, a gingery bloke. Our ginger. And landed him in Anzio. And next time we went up, which would have been 3 days, perhaps 2 days, carrying in these wounded, and there he was on the stretcher. This bloke. I said, "What the hell happened to you?" He said, "I think it's blown me guts away." He said, "I'm in a plaster cast." Holy stomach. I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "As soon as we got there," he said, "the first shell hit our ammunition." So he wasn't there very long. And then a couple of times we took back evacuees. Women and kids and blokes. Used to put the men in the tank space, the women and kids in the troops quarters. Hundreds of them used to be. And you never saw, they never even knew where the toilet was. They used the showers for toilets. And then when we got the neighbours, when we opened those troop quarters, you'd stink of it. So we said to the men, "Right, up and clean out the troops quarters where the women were and the kids." So they wouldn't touch it. They tried to make, the women clean it up. And in the end, the children cleaned it up as well as they could. We went in with fire hoses and done the most of it.
So these were Italian civilians?
Yeah. But they didn't have a clue about any toilet gear, showers or anything like that. Because we had good stuff. We had batches of 12 wash basins and 12 toilets and 12 showers. And they'd done all the wrong things in the wrong places. Well, we had a birth aboard there, a stillborn birth. You'd never believe it if you'd see it yourself, the conditions there when we had those sort of people aboard. And then you had to go back and get the ship cleaned to load troops. I didn't worry much about it then, but I do now.
About the danger?
Didn't worry about it then, but I do now.
Did you have any casualties amongst the crew?
Not from gunfire, but we had several went, mad and bomb heavy.
Did you sympathise with them?
Yeah. Only boys. I was 23 at the time, and I was an old man aboard there. Yeah.
And then what do you remember?
don't know when, must have been in March, we left Anzio and went to a place called Ferryville in what's it, Algeria, I suppose, Tunisia. Done a refit, put on new propellers. And they told us then that we were going home. They said, you can tell your people the sensor's finished, because we couldn't tell them nobody nothing. He said, the sensor's finished, you can tell them we were coming home. And we done a little refit. And when we went to the Thanksgiving service, we're coming out of Anzio, aboard a ship called the Whalen, blooming great Cunarder. It was fitted out as a machinery ship for repairs. We were lined up, our ship's company here, another Whalen ship's company over that side, and right opposite me was a Tynmouth boy called Red Robins. So I went ashore with him for a couple of nights, up to this American, P&Q or something. So a couple of boxing matches and a couple of modern films. They were all right, the Americans. They looked after their own. And nobody looked after us. And one day we came out of Ferryville Lake, turned the port and came home, and the Whaling went out and turned to starboard and went out to Mombasa. I had to tell this boy's mother when I come home. They'd gone out to Mombasa. And we came in, we were on St. George's Day, 1944, 23rd of April, in Swansea. And no leave. Because all leave had been stopped in this country. There was nobody out. The coasts were all closed down, getting ready for the landing. And then we got special fleet leave, 48 hours. Customs buggered us about, they wouldn't help us. Anyway, in the end, we got on a train in Swansea, half the ship's company. And they locked us in the train, and we got out at Bristol sometime in the dead of the night. This is from the morning to the dead of the night, to disperse wherever they wanted to go. The troops going to. I waited there till 5 o'clock in the morning for a West Country train, and got out at Tynmouth, and I knew the porter who was on the station. I had a big case carrying. He said, what are you going to do with that? I said, take it home, we're not going. He said, leave it there, I'll bring it down on a barrow in a minute. So I was coming down the lane here, the top of the lane, and a telegram boy, this was about 8:30 in the morning then, telegram boy, who used to ride bicycles in those days, said, I'm looking for a Mr. Rook. I said, we're down there. But they never knew I was coming home, my family. I was in this house. And I said, they lived down the end there. So when I got down to the door, my father had already opened the telegram. Oak said, my Linton, that's all on it. And he looked at me like I was a ghost. He said, return to your ship. Return to your ship immediately. Bloody hell, I haven't got home yet. I said, I'm not going back. My wife was in the army in Wembley. I wasn't married in those days. So I stopped, made a bit of dinner, and caught a train for Wembley. And on a Sunday morning,